the Chicago Bears, they're the team to watch. We won't stop until we got the game on lock, and we can't be stopped. Give them something to crush, give them something to crunch. Give them a team, they go eat them for lunch. Chill, give them something to block. I'm pulling out all the stops.
A little Chicago Bears hip-hop for you here as we wrap up the Monday Evening Quarterback. This is a segment we've been doing all season long with Adam Hoag, our WGN Radio Bears insider, to give you a little bit in-depth and analysis on what we saw on Sundays, and in this case, what we saw from the 2019 season. Adam joins us. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Morning. Wow.
I like morning. Sure.
Morning, night, whatever it is. Anyway, what's going on, Justin?
All right, so let's get into it. I you know, it was a season of, we've kind of wrapped up on the season being very disappointing, and we want to move forward and look at what could happen this offseason. Let's first start with the news of the day, which is that Kyle Long is stepping away from football to heal his body. What does this mean for the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it means a whole lot because I thought the writing was on the wall that they were going to be moving on from him anyway. I you know, anytime you see a guy go, when he went on IR after the game in London, it seemed like a benching. Yeah. You know, he right. played every snap in that game, and then Matt Nagy said they were going to spend the off week and bye week talking about, you know, how to fix everything, and then the big move they made was to put Kyle Long on IR. So it's not surprising from that standpoint going forward, but I do think that it's a time to reflect on Kyle Long and who I maintain was a good draft pick, somebody that I really represents the Chicago Bears for me. And if it was never a matter of, I hate when guys get labeled as injury prone. Mm-hmm. When they suffer a series of, quite frankly, catastrophic football injuries.
It's football.
Yeah.
You're going to get injured, right.
There's injury prone, and then there's just having some bad luck with injuries. And he, for a while, was, you know, he was never really a guy that was dealing with those nagging muscle injuries because, you know, you're not taking care of your body. Mm-hmm. To me, that's injury prone. That's something that's worth criticizing. Kyle Long went through some gruesome injuries. And it really started with that awful ankle injury in Tampa. And from that point on, he just never really seemed to be able to get his body right. It affected him over the course of a few seasons. And look, it was a good career. He remains a good draft pick for the Bears. And unfortunately, the football injury gods just did not take care of him. And so, unfortunately, he needs to step away from the game.
Okay, so... And you know, we were up and down on Kyle Long his entire career here in Chicago. There were years where he was healthy and he was a Pro Bowler, and there were years where he was out by week two or three. The idea of losing a right guard or a left guard, whatever he was, of that caliber, what does that do for the Bears looking for the offseason? They know they had to replace that position anyway, but where did they go? Do they look to plug that hole, or they got somebody already on the roster?
I do not think they're going to be content just sticking with what they have on the roster. So they went with Rashad Coward from the point they moved on from Kyle Long, and he's a converted defensive lineman who was an undrafted free agent to begin with. And, you know, I think they did well with Rashad Coward to get him to the level where he can probably go forward in his career playing on the offensive line and have some years ahead of him. But I'm not convinced he's anything more than a swing guard or a backup. And they, right now, when you look at this running game, to me, they miss Kyle Long. Not necessarily the guy they had earlier in the year, but the guy they used to have
right.
that would maul guys in the running game. That would just, you know, he'd pancake you. He was just ferocious. And unfortunately, you know, it just got to the point with the injuries where he couldn't do that consistently anymore. He'd still have flashes, but not over the course of, you know, a long game or, you know, a long season that just starts to add up. So what did they do there is the question.
Yeah.
You know, they have sometimes you can find a second rounder, a good guard. I mean, obviously they did that with Cody Whitehair, who's really more of a center for them, but he came in as a guard. And so that's a possibility. Or do you go out like a guy, Brandon Scherff, who's a free agent this year? That's going to cost a lot of money, and they need to be careful which positions they put their money into. But But that's an idea I like. That's an idea of really, you don't, you're not just fixing one position. You have the opportunity to fix multiple positions across that offensive line by adding somebody dynamic like that.
The issue, and we can talk about all the positions, but when we talk about, I think it's great, and I think it's apropos to talk about the offensive line first. The running game was dismal. The pass protection was suspect. This team that didn't have, there wasn't a lot of offseason improvement to this offensive line. You just thought that they were, that was a strength of the team. It was not. It was a weakness. Is it an overall, is it an overhaul of this offensive line in the offseason, or are the Bears stuck with who they have?
Well, the question beyond right guard is what happens with the tackle positions. So Charles Leno Jr. is obviously under contract, and I think it was pretty clear that he regressed this season. Bobby Massey is a little bit older, and that's a spot where maybe you try to go younger. But again, you know, every conversation we're going to have over this offseason, no matter what position it is, comes down to, yeah, but they're limited in how much money they can throw at so many positions.
Right.
And they're limited in how many draft picks they have. I mean, they have two top 50 picks, but they're number 43 and they're number 50. You know, so they're the chances of getting a high-quality plug-and-play tackle, if you don't use, even using one of those picks in the second round, not very high. So that's where the problem, and you know, with a number of these spots is. So I don't know that they're necessarily going to have someone different besides Charles Leno or Bobby Massey. But I do think if you can significantly upgrade that right guard spot, it could impact the rest of the line.
Yeah.
And by the way, I didn't mention James Daniels and Cody Whitehair because those are the young guys they still have there that are not going anywhere.
The offensive line to me is the metaphor for the entire Bears 2019 season. In the way that in 2018 the Bears came into that offseason when Matt Nagy was hired, you looked at the offensive line and said, this is a weak spot. That we're not sure about Charles Leno Jr. We're not sure what's going to. I think that they went out and got Bobby Massey. But the point being, they were all over the place. They, you know, was Whitehair the center. And after they went 12-4 and had a successful 2018, it felt like last offseason, they're like, no, these are the guys. These guys are perfect. And they regressed. They regressed back to what we saw maybe at the end of John Fox's tenure. And to me, it's a metaphor for the entire 2019 season going into 2020. Do they have to do what they should have done in the first place before they had that what might have been a fluke season at 12-4?
Well, it's a fair point because you look at some of the positions they stood pat on, and it turned out those were the biggest problems. You know, the offensive line was one. They brought all five starters back, and to do that, they signed Bobby Massey, who this was his age 30 season. He's going to be 31 next season, to a 4-year contract extension. Mm-hmm. You don't always do that with 30-year-old players. That's always a risky proposition in the NFL. Now, I don't necessarily think Bobby Massey was a huge problem. Remember, he missed the end of the season with an ankle injury the last five games, but his money in 2020 is guaranteed. So
you can't move on from him, yeah.
It's tough to move on from him now. Now, you can bring in competition maybe, but that was one of those moves where they, and same thing at tight end, they said, we're going to bring back the guys we have, and we think that's good enough. And those spots where they stood pat really turned out to be some of their problem spots once the season got going, especially on offense.
Well, we talk about the tight end position coming up here. We'll take our first break. 312-981-7200. 913 says, the only place I want Tom Brady to go, hell. Oh, ouch. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Wow.
I don't see him as a huge rival in Chicago, and I would say, you know, we're going to talk to Adam about so he can douse cold water all over our Tom Brady dreams coming up here right after the break. It's the Monday Evening Quarterback, 312-981-7200. Stay with us. It's WGN Radio here. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's the Monday Evening Quarterback. Adam Hoge is with us, our Bears insider here at WGN Radio, as we look ahead to the offseason and wrap up our Monday Evening Quarterback, which we've been doing all of the 2019 season. All right, ready for the douse the cold water bit. Tom Brady comes to the Bears. I've been seeing it, the hot takes. I had a friend from Boston who mentioned to me on Saturday. Then I saw it all over Sunday. Now their team being mentioned by Peter King and other places. Is this a thing? Is Tom Brady leaving New England? And if so, is there any chance he comes to the Chicago Bears?
Well, I'm certainly skeptical that he's going to leave New England. I don't think he necessarily wants to. I think that He made a decision, though, before this season that he wanted to experience free agency before his career, his long career is over. He's never been a free agent before. So, you know, here he is. I do wonder about what Bill Belichick thinks right now is the best thing for the Patriots, because I think if you watch the Patriots very closely this year, their offensive problems were not Tom Brady's fault. However, I also think at the same time it was obvious that Tom Brady's regression was finally starting to happen. Now, he's still a very good quarterback, and don't get me wrong, if Tom Brady wants to come to Chicago, you absolutely have to consider making that move. It wouldn't be cheap, and you're pretty much ending the Trubisky thing because he's only got 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah, they ended the Tebow thing in Denver for Peyton Manning, right? Remember that. So, I mean, I know it seems weird, but there was an investment in Tebow. I could see us kicking Trubisky to the curb.
I would say it was a lot more obvious, though, that Tim Tebow couldn't play than it is with Mitchell Trubisky. Here's the thing, though, about this whole thing. This is where the cold water comes. Why would Tom Brady want to come to the Bears? That's my problem.
For the deep dish pizza.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I don't know if it's a great fit with the offense. If you're Tom Brady and you've been on the Patriots all this time, I just don't know why you'd want to come to Chicago.
Well, the one thing I will say about the Tom Brady experience, and I don't know if that's I feel like it's all leverage. He'll be back with the Patriots. But we saw this year an exposed Tom Brady. For one reason, it rarely gets referenced that over in the offseason, Rob Gronkowski retired. And as one of the best pass-catching tight ends in NFL history, he gave Tom Brady a lot of cover, meaning Tom Brady could throw any which way, you know, a flutter of a ball towards Rob Gronkowski, and he's going to catch it. And without that there, you saw him exposed. Now, let's talk about the Chicago Bears, because Mitch Trubisky, he didn't have that option. He didn't have a Gronk on the team. He didn't have anybody. Trey Burton was a letdown this season. The backups did not play to their abilities or what we thought they could. And you start to see even Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, has struggles when there isn't an option at tight end.
Yes. You know, this was something we talked about a couple weeks ago, getting ready for the game against the Chiefs when Travis Kelce was coming to town. And we talked to Andy Reid that week on a conference call at Hallis Hall, and Andy Reid talked about how Kelce is their number one or number two option on a lot of their plays within the progression. Within the progressions that Patrick Mahomes is going through, there are plays designed for the tight end. And the tight end lines up closest to the quarterback out of all of the receiving options, you know, unless you're talking about a running back coming out of the backfield. So that's just something that wasn't there. And if you think about it, that's simply just where your eyes are as a quarterback. And your tight end is right there in front of you, and you have a guy like that who can get open for you immediately. It helps your offense tremendously, especially in this system, not unlike Andy Reid's system. It's so important that you tight end spot that can create mismatches and be a weapon for the quarterback, a safe weapon near the line of scrimmage or even downfield if you have somebody that dynamic.
And doesn't it also, Adam, you know, with Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's one of the best that ever played. But having a tight end that is productive and can get open makes reading defenses a lot easier. You see right off the bat who's covering the tight end. Rarely is a tight end double covered. And you get an option right off the bat. Mitch Trubisky knows where he's got to throw the ball. When you don't have that option, and that's just not an option, it becomes a lot tougher to play that position.
Well, and I think that that's something that just wasn't comprehended enough this season, and maybe that's on people like me for not, you know, explaining it. But I still feel like we were going over this over every single week. But you're absolutely right. I mean, especially in this offense, you know, I talk about it a lot, but this system is designed to have man beaters and zone beaters within each play. And it all comes down to being able to read the defense before the snap, okay? Now, you got to read it after the snap, too, in a split second. But a lot of this is based on what you're seeing pre-snap. And the bottom line is Mitch Trubisky so far has struggled at that. But I think this year he struggled with that in part because of what you just said. They didn't have what they call the adjuster. That's what Matt Nagy calls that spot, that tight end, the adjuster. And last year when he had Trey Burton out there, even though Trey Burton's not Travis Kelce, he had that guy where they knew it's easier to diagnose who was going to be the guy open based on how the coverage was. And the Bears just did not have that this season.
And what did Burton get, 45, 50 catches last year? I mean, that was a big part of the offense.
But even it's not – yes, that's a big part of it, but it's also even times when the ball goes somewhere else. But because he's on the field, Trubisky's able to know where he's supposed to go with the ball. So, look – Trubisky didn't have a good year. He regressed. But there's a lot of things around him that went wrong that did not help him. And that is why I'm not going to fault the Bears for... They should not kick him to the curb right now. They shouldn't. Should they bring in competition? Should they have a backup plan? Absolutely. But there are still a lot of real reasons for why Trubisky took a step back that are not just about his ability or his inability to read defenses. They can do other things to help him that will help him continue to develop.
Okay, so you look at all the teams that are left in the playoffs. The Kansas City Chiefs, Travis Kelce. Look at the Minnesota Vikings and Kyle Rudolph caught the overtime touchdown. Mm-hmm. You're seeing even some of the big name in Baltimore. Mark Andrews is a huge part of what Lamar Jackson does. Do the Bears need to go get a tight end, like a free agent, top tier, number one option tight end?
Well, I think that answer is 100% yes, because Trey Burton's having hip surgery again, or already had the hip surgery, and to me at this point, you just can't trust him. If he comes back in training camp and is 100% healthy and gets over these issues that plagued him, that basically this past calendar year, since we were talking about the wild card game almost exactly a year ago, then that's an added bonus at this point to me. You have to look beyond him. You almost have to pretend like Trey Burton is not on the roster right now to adequately fix this position for me. You cannot wait for Adam Shaheen to all of a sudden have it click. And all of a sudden, he's an option. I think he's only on this team going into training camp this summer because he's still under his rookie contract. And beyond that, there's a decent chance to me that he doesn't even make the squad coming out at the preseason next year. So whether it's free agency or using a second-round pick on a tight end, and I'll get there eventually here in the next coming weeks as we start to dive into the draft, and I'll see what kind of good options are out there. But that's what you have to have a better option come September, and it can't just be Trey Burton.
Yeah, I mean, you watched it yesterday in that game, Seattle and Philadelphia. I mean, Josh McCown, a backup quarterback, his number one option on every throw was to one of those tight ends. I mean, that was it.
Yeah, and they got two on the Eagles.
I know.
I mean, two really. Ertz is obviously incredibly dynamic, but Dallas Goedert's a player I liked coming out to a couple years ago, and he's a good option.
It just seems to me like that has to be the priority, because if you look around the roster, obviously if they're not going to move on from Mitch Trubisky, who is 847 puts out. I do agree with what 847 says. He underthrows passes. He underthrows fades. Nobody ever does that. He misses open guys all the time. So the idea that it's just that he doesn't have the weapons around him, Trubisky has made non-believers in all of us. people are open, or how many passes that he just flat out missed this year. That is
absolutely
a big part of why Chicago has turned on Mitch Trubisky. But if you're going to stay with Mitch, I don't know if there's any other position besides maybe the offensive line that you need to upgrade. I mean, because I would be fine if every single member of the Bears defense came back. And I'd be fine if all the receivers came back and we didn't upgrade there. So it just feels like they should put all of their energy on the guys up front and that tight end position.
Well, and I think that they genuinely understand that. I mean, especially Ryan Pace has obviously had a huge part in building this defense. It's basically the defense other than Kyle Fuller, I think everyone else he brought in here. So, but on the offensive side, at this point, you look at what's going wrong, and you obviously have to fix that side of the ball. Plus, you have Matt Nagy there in the room, too, and this was his thing, the offense. So they understand. I like that the quick extension for Eddie Jackson was a sign that they understand they got to move quickly, and they have to Eddie Jackson was one of these questions that had to be addressed because he's obviously an incredibly good player and you needed to lock him up long term. They didn't waste any time. Now they know how Eddie Jackson fits the books and they can move forward not having to worry about that specific thing going into this offseason. So I like that they move quickly.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break, come back. Let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about the coaching staff. And then we'll talk about the cap space, which is not great. In past years, we've seen better cap situations for this Bears team. This year, they're paying for some of the big contracts that they have in the books. Adam Hogue is the Bears insider here at WGN Radio. Joins us every Monday for the Monday Evening Quarterback. We'll take a break, come back, and continue. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Adam Hogue, Bears insider, is with us for the Monday Evening Quarterback, our final one of the year. You know, watching these games, these playoff games, I was shedding a tear every time. Every team, I was like, that could be the Bears. Even the losers, I'm like, we could have lost that game. we could have been the Saints and lost that game.
Let me give you a little bit of good news. If you notice, the remaining eight teams in the playoffs, only one of them were in this round a year ago. Hmm. So seven out of the eight teams are new. This is the NFL, and teams roll over. A lot of it has to do with injury luck. Unfortunately, some of it has to do with officiating sometimes.
Yeah, right.
But the point is, this league is built to have parity and to have different teams competing year in and year out.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe, though, because every team that played yesterday and on Saturday are teams that I believe in their blood, their culture, they're perennial winners. Even the Tennessee Titans are always around the ball. They're always there, the team that beat Matt Nagy when he was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City.
Yeah.
The Houston Texans, they're around with Deshaun Watson, which makes all Bears fans, you know, hit the table because Ryan Pace had no interest in Deshaun Watson. And on the other side, it's the Saints. It's the Vikings. Last year, a little bit of a fluke, but they were there the year before. And, of course, we got to watch the Eagles. We got to watch the Seahawks. The bad news I would throw back at you is that both the Packers and the Vikings are playing next week. That's terrible. That's terrible for Bears fans.
It is, especially if they win and they end up playing each other in the NFC Championship. But look, here's the thing. The question is, have the Bears done a good enough job with their roster to be a team like the Vikings or the Packers, who aren't, or even the Titans, you know, who are in the playoffs three years ago, then they missed it last year, now they're back in it. The point is, you can establish your team as one of these teams that hangs around. Maybe you have a down year, and then you come back the following year. That's what I'm saying is, I still think the Bears have enough talent on this roster that they can bounce back next year and make the playoffs. They have, you know, huge key questions like the quarterback that's going to determine if they're real Super Bowl contenders or not. But I just personally do not believe this Bears team is just going to fall off a cliff.
Okay, so let's talk about the defense. Obviously, they could maybe have an upgrade in their corner position. I just think of Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller. But, you know, they got bitten by the injury bug with Akeem Hicks and the linebackers. But other than that, they've had a pretty good season. Maybe not as dynamic as the year that they led the team to the playoffs 2 years ago. But they were pretty good this year, and I don't see any spot that needs huge improvement.
Well, look, to me, the easiest way to judge defense is it doing its job, which is what? To prevent the other team from scoring. The Bears were number one in the NFC in points allowed. So, you can criticize a couple things. They didn't get as many takeaways. That certainly hurt the offense. Khalil Mack didn't get to the quarterback enough. Other guys didn't get to the quarterback enough. There are things to pick on and improve. But the bottom line is this unit still gave up the least amount of points in their conference. That means something. That means that they are still a good unit. So there's a couple things that are going to happen. There's a couple tough decisions that you have to make sure you don't get worse. If you do choose to move on from Prince Amukamara, who is your replacement? I'm not convinced Kevin Tolliver is just going to step in and be great, although I think he did a decent job there at the end of the season. But the Prince move is almost a no-brainer at this point, because as we start to talk about cap space, cutting him gets you $9 million in cap space right away. So that's the type of move where, okay, you could say right now the Bears are against the cap. Well, you make a move like that, all of a sudden you freed up $9 million. That makes a big difference. So, but if you do that, you need to have a replacement. Danny Trevathan. Do you move on from him? He's going to be expensive. I like Danny Trevathan. I think he matters a lot to this defense.
Absolutely,
in terms of just the heart and soul of being a leader. So moving on from him to save some money is a risky proposition, even though I know Bears fans are listening and screaming in their cars right now. Well, what about Nick Kwiatkowski? who's proven to be a good player. But guess what? He's going to get paid like a starter somewhere too, if it's not here in Chicago.
Is he so a which free one agent? Would, is Kwiatkowski?
He is, and so is Kevin Pierre-Lewis, who looked really good.
He looked good too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's so not a no-brainer just to bring those guys back.
And the other thing too is Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix fit in well. I thought he had a good year, but it wasn't necessarily well known that or talked about a lot that Eddie Jackson was not playing the same position he played two years ago.
That's what 847 points out. 847, a great text about he. You know, one of the reasons they'd like to see Eddie Jackson play more of the free safety role that he played under Fangio. That this year he played way closer to the box. He was really a run stopper, and that's why you didn't see the same kind of ball hawking production. Is that something I think about, that they're playing Eddie Jackson a little differently and he is not necessarily being played to the kind of skills that we saw him in his first couple of years?
Yeah, there's two things for this defense that to me fall on Chuck Pagano this offseason, the defensive coordinator. One is I agree. I would also like to see Eddie Jackson go back to that center fielder because, you know, he only had two interceptions all season. Both of them came sort of when he was the center fielder to seal the wins against Detroit and Minnesota. And he needs to get his hands on the ball more. And just part of that was teams were avoiding him, but also part of it was he was playing in a different spot. So I'd like to see that fixed. Now, that probably means moving on from Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix and bringing in another guy that's more like Adrian Amos was, who's just going to be closer in the box. And as long as he's a reliable tackler, I think that's okay. The other thing that I think Chuck Pagano has to figure out this offseason is, look, I get it. Khalil Mack was getting double, triple teamed. He was getting chipped. They were throwing everything at him. Okay, what's your response as a coordinator? How do you either scheme Khalil Mack open more or get other guys to the quarterback more? And that's, to me, that's a big focus from a schematic standpoint, whether that's moving him around to create better matchups, things like that, that as a defensive coordinator, Chuck Pagano, who I thought had a good year, can do better in 2020.
One thing we haven't talked about has been the special teams. We had when you think about the circus that was the special teams in the offseason after they got rid of Cody Parkey and Eddie Pinheiro came in, there were some, I think some ups and downs with this unit. I think there was a pretty strong punting game. The kicker was, won a couple games, maybe lost a couple games. And then the punt coverage and the kick coverage was not the greatest, including boneheaded running in the kicker plays that really hurt them in the, I think it was the Chiefs game. Where do you grade them? I mean, is that something as well that the Bears need to look at how they fared in special teams?
Yeah, well, I wonder if, one of the assistants they let go is Brock Olivo, their assistant special teams coordinator, and it felt like some of that they put on him. I think it's, first of all, we need to point out that over the course of the last 4 years, really under Ryan Pace, the Bears special teams has gotten a little bit better each and every season, and I do think that Chris Tabor has done a pretty good job here the last couple of years overall. Mm-hmm. And we should also point out that Cordell Patterson led the league in kickoff return yardage and was a huge addition as a gunner as well. He actually made the All-Pro team twice, both as a gunner and as a kick returner, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, right.
But you point out to me what was the problem with the special teams this season, other than I would call the kicker situation shaky. Like, you couldn't completely trust him. But, maybe it's a young guy who can improve in 2020. But you bring up the big plays, like the two running into the kicker penalties, one in London against the Raiders and one against the Chiefs. And it was the same player, Kevin Pierre-Lewis, who otherwise is a really good special teamer. But that's the mistakes, basically, need to be cut down in 2020. Otherwise, I think they're okay. I mean, I think that they've gotten better, and some of that, though, is just the overall roster talent. As your roster gets better, you're going to be deeper on special teams because that's usually your back end of the roster, most of those guys playing there.
When we think about, you mentioned the coaches, the assistant special teams coach getting let go, and it was right around Christmas time that they pretty much cleaned house of all of the offensive specialists on the coaching staff. Were you surprised by that? Because Matt Nagy seemed to be protected as the guy who designed the offense and calls the plays, but all of them down the line, they all got let go.
Well, I wasn't surprised because I've said this before, if Matt Nagy wasn't the head coach, the offense coordinator would have been fired this year.
Right.
I mean, it's the NFL, and you've had 2 years, and you're at the bottom of the almost at the bottom statistically in most offensive categories. In the NFL, that coordinator gets fired almost always. Okay, but Matt Nagy's the head coach, and he's, in my opinion, again, I've said this before a lot in this Money Even Quarterback segment, that I think he's proven to be a pretty good head coach. Obviously, the offensive stuff needs to be fixed. So, if you can't fire that guy, and you're obviously not going to because he is the head coach, then you got to make the changes below. And I get why, in some ways, it looks like those guys are just sort of being sacrificed because somebody has to go. But I think if you actually look at them, in that Mark Helfrich and Harry Hiestand had a lot to do with the running game. I don't think it's all their fault. I think Harry Hiestand's a good offensive line coach, but I do think that there's probably some philosophical differences in there somewhere in how to get this running game going. And same thing with the tight ends. You know, it's hard to blame Kevin Gilbride, the tight ends coach, because he didn't have much to work with this year. But you know, it's not all that surprising, too, because Adam Shaheen hasn't developed. You put some of that on him? I don't know. Maybe they did. That's why these guys had – someone had to go. If anything was a surprise at all, it's that Dave Vergone, the quarterback's coach, didn't go. But, you know, Dave Vergone's a pretty good coach, and just because the players don't always work out doesn't mean it's the coach's fault and vice versa.
Should we expect big names to come in on a Matt Nagy coaching staff, or is it going to be next man up on the staff? I mean, we're going to see some well-known NFL personnel come to the Bears?
I think most likely the hire will come from outside. At this point, I think it would be hard. It would be a hard sell to promote Dave Vergone into the OC spot. You know, before the season, I definitely could have seen that happening. But I just think right now I'm guessing he's a candidate, something they're thinking about. Right. Let's also remember Brad Childress is on this staff. He's qualified. But I think right now, if you promote somebody from within, that doesn't really solve the problem. That I think you need somebody coming from the outside and look at this differently. Because what's going on inside the building isn't working right now. Yeah. And I think you need a voice from the outside to come in and say, hey, look, why don't you try this? Maybe your I formation is working more. Maybe you should run more of that. So I look at a guy like Pat Shurmur, who just got fired by the Giants, as a possibility, although there hasn't been any... It's been pretty quiet on that front in terms of him being involved. The name I'll give you that I think might be why this thing's being held up and there hasn't been much talk about it over last week, Mike Kafka. Mike Kafka is the former Northwestern quarterback who is the quarterback's coach right now in Kansas City. Mm. And as my podcast partner reported last week, Adam Johns, Mike Kafka's contract is up. So he is a rising star in this profession, somebody who coached with Matt Nagy in Kansas City, who I was throwing his name out there in the middle of the season as somebody that they should target. I believe he could come in and be a big boost, but that goes back to, all right, maybe the Chiefs don't want to lose him. If he's out of contract, they can't block him from interviewing with the Bears.
Free agent, right.
But they certainly could offer him a contract to stay, and if Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator right now, gets a head coaching job, well, that's a natural promotion for Mike Kafka. And if you have to choose between Mitchell Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes, who are you going to pick?
Mitch, right? There's just more potential.
Although, hey, Mike Kafka is a St. Rita guy. He's from Chicago.
Oh, there you go.
So some of that stuff does matter.
All right. Well, we'll take our last break here. We'll come back, wrap up with Adam Hoag, the Monday evening quarterback, with our Bears insider, Adam Hoag, as we wrap up the segment for the 2019. I guess this is the 2019-2020 season. It'd be much better if they actually played in 2020. They did not, but we're talking about it in 2020. All right, we'll take our last break. 312-981-7200. Stay with us. All right, 312-981-7200. It's the Monday evening quarterback, talking about the Bears season that was, wrapping it up with Adam Holgar, Bears insider. Some text coming in. 608 says, they need a strong safety first and foremost. Pace let a good one walk away to our worst rival and Adrian Amos. But if Eddie Jackson is going to be the star that we paid him to be, we need a strong safety. Concur?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that You know, Eddie Jackson needs to go back to being the free safety again. They just paid him a lot of money, and you'd like to see him go back to getting more interceptions. But if you're going to make that move, you need to have a strong tackler there in the strong safety spot. But look, they had that with Adrian Amos. He just earned a big contract, so now you got to find the next guy.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. 847 echoes your sentiment, saying draft real players from real schools. No more Ryan Pace projects.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that kind of is referring to Adam Shaheen coming from D2. Tariq Cohen's worked out, though. I think, you know, he kind of had a down year, and I think he's limited a little bit in terms of his overall ceiling. Like, he's not going to be Tyreek Hill, but he's still a pretty good piece in this offense, and he has a much better season, speaking of that whole tight end spot.
Yeah.
You have the tight end out there getting the attention, then Tariq Cohen's going to be open a lot more. So just draft good players wherever they're from.
Right, right. 331 says Bears should draft tight end Cole Kmet out of Notre Dame as a late rounder. He was a good player.
Late rounder. I feel like he would go a little bit earlier, but haven't completely looked into that. Let me give you one crazy trade idea.
Oh, yeah. That's a crazy trade ideas.
Well, because this is a story out of the Philadelphia Inquirer today that was being written, and I guess under the locker room cleanout day there in Philadelphia, that Zach Ertz was, quote, sounding like someone who thought he might get traded, or at least was accounting for that possibility with 2 years remaining on a contract he would like to see boosted, and Dallas Goedert waiting in the wings. Now, if the Eagles are making that trade, they are asking for somebody who's a good player. All right, and already my Twitter mentions, because this turned into a discussion on Twitter, and someone said like they might be looking for a corner because the Eagles need a good corner, and then someone wrote, copied me on something and said, all right, Prince Amukamara for Zach Ertz. All right. That's not getting it done, especially because we just talked about how Prince Amukamara right. is likely going to be a cap casualty here. All right. But Kyle Fuller is a different story. And that's the type of trade. Like, if you're going to trade and get somebody as dynamic as Zach Ertz, you have to be giving something up. That's just how trades work.
I'd be okay with that. Yeah.
Fans always struggle with that. So the question is, would you be willing to give up Kyle Fuller, who is still young, still good, somebody I could see the Eagles wanting? Now all of a sudden, you might have two holes at cornerback, though. But you're basically, if you make that move, you're saying, we're trusting our pass rush. We have Eddie Jackson on the top end. We trust our defense that it's not going to be a disaster. And meanwhile, we're getting that dynamic tight end that we really need in this offense. That's the type of move that I would say is a possibility. I'm not trying to, create a trade story here. I'm just saying, if you're going to go out and get somebody like Ertz, that's somebody that you'd have to trade.
I love that. I mean, I think that that's the kind of, if you're going to look for a playmaker, if you're looking at the defensive side of the ball, Kyle Fuller has shown a lot of growth, but one thing he is not is a playmaker at this point. Give him credit for everything he does to lock down that side of the field, but how many times have we talked about game-changing plays that have literally slipped through his fingers? We need a guy on the other side of the ball who's going to make the play. All right, one place we didn't, 312 wants to know about the wide receiving core. We saw a really up-and-down season from Anthony Miller. At the end of the season, he came on, which was great, and Allen Robinson was arguably the best receiving year in history for the Bears, it feels like. But after that, Taylor Gabriel missed half the season with a concussion, and then I don't know what we saw with Javon Wims or Riley Ridley and down the line. Do the Bears need to bolster the wide receiving core?
A little bit. I mean, because Taylor Gabriel, I think you have two big question marks to me. Taylor Gabriel, two concussions in one season, and it's not his first time having concussions. So long term there, can you rely on him going forward if he has another concussion, which is always a possibility in football? Also, he falls under the category of guys who could end up being cap casualties. So I could see that moving out from Taylor Gabriel happening. So Anthony Miller, I really liked how he came on in the second half of the season, but he still needs to be better with his details. And we learned last week from Ryan Pace that he needs to have shoulder surgery again. And that's going to cost him all that time in the spring that clearly impacted him this year when he didn't have that time in the spring to work on those details, to be totally in tune with your quarterback and in your playbook. And again, shoulder, how many times, you know, when a guy has multiple shoulder injuries, I start to worry about long term, especially when it comes to catch radius, which he already seems to be a little bit limited in. So those are question marks. Lots of long way of answering the question, saying yes, I think they can use another body there. It was interesting to see Riley Ridley, you know, have a decent game in Minnesota. I'd also point out that Javon Wims had a good game in Week 17 in Minnesota a year ago, and you saw this year he's still kind of limited.
Yeah. All right, my trade scenario, it's not trade scenarios. Mine's more like the NBA when they become free agents. In this case, I would say Tom Brady comes to Chicago and he recruits his buddy Gronk to come out of retirement and one of the little white receivers. I don't know which one, any of them, Hogan or whatever. It doesn't matter. They come like it's the Golden State Warriors. Like we get three of the guys and everything
three.
Is fixed. Yeah, that's my. I mean, you got your Ertz and you got all your sources and everything like that. But this is mine. Which I think that he could just bring the Patriots to the Midwest.
All right, well, you better start campaigning for them to raise the cap even more then.
Oh, no, they'll all play. I left that part out. They'll all play for the league minimum.
Ah.
Because they just want a title. They've never tasted victory. Those Patriots, they don't know what it's like to win a title, and they feel like they can win it in Chicago.
Now, that is that's craziness.
All right. Well, it was a great season of Monday evening quarterbacking. I wish we could have been doing this and analyzing a playoff game, but that's not happening this season. Hopefully next. Adam Hoge's stuff can all be read at WGNRadio.com/Bears, and he will be an instrumental part of our offseason. We'll hear from you throughout the offseason as you update us on draft and free agency and all the other great stuff that keeps us informed as Bears fans. Adam, thanks so much, bud.
Yep, football season never ends. Thanks, Justin.